King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord hath removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten, as a teal tree, and as an oak whose substance is in them. When they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Amen. I'd like to preach tonight, if the Lord would help me. And this is my title, In His Presence. In His Presence. All right. Amen. What a vision. What an eyeful Isaiah got that day. Amen. The Bible said, I saw the Lord. Amen. Not only did he see him, but he seen him on his throne in all of his glory. Oh, what it would have been like to have been with Isaiah there as he was in the very throne room of God. Oh, the beauty, all the wonder, all the glory of seeing God face to face. What must it have been like? Amen. I can't tell you what it was like that day except for what Isaiah tells us. But I'll tell you this, that one day we shall see him face to face as well. And one day we're going to stand before him and our knees going to bow and our tongue's going to confess that he is Lord. Amen. In his presence. Oh, for the presence of God. Oh, to have a vision. Oh, to have a relationship with God that Isaiah had. Oh, in this service tonight, wouldn't it be wonderful if God's presence come by in such a way that it felt like he was standing right in front of us? Amen. We can have music. We need to have music. But if none of the musicians are here to play, amen, we can still go ahead and have church as long as his presence is here. Amen. If there was no preacher here to preach to us tonight, amen, we could still go ahead and have church as long as his presence is here. We must have the presence of God in our midst, in our life. Whenever we get up in the morning, we must have God walking with us. Amen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we must have God's abiding presence with us. Amen. One of my favorite songs is that the song we sing so many times. He abides, he abides. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the pilgrim way. Amen. I love to sing about he abides. Why? Because even many times in the day, God reminds me of his continual dwelling presence with me. Oh, I love the presence of God. Amen. But I want to point out to us tonight some things about the presence of God. Amen. Some things that I see in this passage of Scripture. Amen. The first thing that I see is the crying that goes on in the presence of God. Amen. What does the Bible say in verse number 3 and verse number 4? It says this, And one cried unto another, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the Bible said the post of the doors moved at the voice of them that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Amen. What is that crying? Amen. That crying is worship unto God. Amen. These seraphims and these angels, amen, were giving giving glory and honor, amen, to God. They was worshiping God. Amen. If you go into heaven right now, you know what you'd hear? You'd hear the angels proclaiming the glorious, amen, wonders of God and praising Him and giving Him glory. Friend, I want you to know, whenever His presence comes, when you stand in the presence of God, you cannot help but worship. Amen. I want you to notice what they were saying. They were saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Amen. Do you remember what Brother Rich told us a few months ago at homecoming? Amen. I've heard other preachers say it, but Brother Rich was the last one I can remember here saying it, how he said, amen, they was not crying love, love, love in the presence of God, though God is a God of love. Amen. He was not crying love, love, love. Amen. He was not crying mercy, 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 though we know His mercies are, they fail not, His compassions are new every morning. We know about the mercies and the compassions of God. But what were the angels crying? They were crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Amen. Why? Because holiness is His outstanding character quality. Amen. Holiness is what He is. Amen. That's His outstanding attribute, is a holy God. That's why, amen, that's why He said in Leviticus in the law, be ye holy as I am holy. Amen. That's why Peter repeated it in his epistle when he said, be holy as the Lord God is holy. My friend, I want you to know tonight, if you worship God, you must worship Him in the beauty of holiness. Amen. If you don't like holiness, you don't like worshiping God, because the only way you can really worship is when you are living a sanctified life, amen, holy and righteous in the sight of God. You must be holy. Amen. His worship was holiness. Amen. That's why the priest on their forehead and that mitre in the law, they had to put holiness unto the Lord. Amen. It was a sign. It was worship. Amen. Friend, we must worship Him. Amen. The only people that really do know how to worship God is the holiness crowd. Amen. I've been in the worldly crowds. I've been in liberal ranks. I've been to some of the big meetings even. Amen. When I was at Bible school, I had the privilege to go to one of the big AG preachers' conventions, and we sung there at a big preachers' convention. And oh, they had a good service, and the preaching really was pretty good. The preacher got up, preach a little holiness even. Amen. But there was not that free moving of God. Why? Because it was because holiness was not welcome there. But friend, I want you to know, where holiness is welcome, and when people live a holy, sanctified life, there's such a liberty, amen, in God's holy presence. Amen. Why? Because they're doing like the angels are doing. They're saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Amen. Sometimes when you get up in a service, in some places I've been, and you said that word holiness, is like you're saying a dirty word. Everybody cringes. Amen. Because they don't like it. But friend, if you're in love with God, He's holy. Amen. You don't have any reason to be afraid of it. Amen. You might as well line up to the book of God. Amen. And live like God said to live, because that's the way He is. And to get to that holy city, you're going to have to live a holy life. Amen. And offer holy worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Not only is there crying in His presence, but I want you to notice the conviction that's in His presence. Amen. In verse number 5, we see, amen, the prophet Isaiah said, then said I, woe is me. Now, this isn't a sinner. This isn't somebody just off the street that's lived a bad life. Amen. This is the prophet of God. This is the one that God has talked to. Amen. In His presence is conviction. Friend, I want you to know, you look in the fifth chapter of the book of Isaiah, the chapter right before chapter 6. Amen. You look at Isaiah's message, and one after another, several times in that chapter, he says, woe unto them, woe unto them, woe unto them. Why? He was offering the word of God and preaching God's gospel and saying unto them, woe unto you. Amen. You're not in line with God's word. But look what happens even to the man of God when he gets in the presence of the Almighty. Even he has to bow a knee and say, woe is me. Oh, I remember times, Brother Collins, when I've been down on my knees praying, and all of a sudden the presence of God comes into that little prayer room that I may be at, and all the convictions that there, though I haven't seen Brother Kevin, though I haven't done anything wrong as far as I know, I still am reminded, amen, of my sinful nature, and know that unless it's God's help and unless He comes by and touches me, that I'd be a sinner tonight. Friend, we need to realize the conviction that's in His presence. Amen. You're not perfect yet. Amen. You may be striving for perfection. Amen. But you ain't perfect yet. Amen. There's some folks that you talk to. Oh, don't you wish you could be as righteous as they are? Amen. They seem like they've got it all together. Amen. And they're not afraid to tell you. And they'll tell you about how unrighteous everybody else is and how terrible the things that they're doing and how bad the things they're doing. But friend, I want you to know, even the one that thinks they've got it all together and thinks they're doing all right, if they really got into the presence of God, they'd realize that their righteousness is as filthy rags. Amen. God would put a finger on them and say, realize, amen, your gossiping tongue's sin and you'll go to hell for that. I don't care how your hair looks or what kind of dress you got on. Amen. If you ain't talking right and you're spreading gossip and spreading slander about the men of God and the church of God, amen, and you're not going to that holy city. Amen. There is conviction in His presence. Amen. All of us have room to grow. Amen. I'm not perfect. Amen. My wife will be the first one to tell you. Amen. She'll tell you. Amen. She knows. I know. Amen. I'm reminded of every morning when I wake up and look in the mirror. I'm just an old devil saved by the grace of God. Amen. I'm thankful for the work of salvation done in my life. But friend, when you get in the presence of God and the power of God is pouring into praise, amen, there will be conviction. You know what we need in our service? And thank God for the people that prayed around these altars Sunday night. But you know what to turn the tide in most of the churches where this tape will be distributed at? It's for God's presence to be there such a way that conviction gets on the sinner. Oh, we can have wonderful services and it seems like God moves and people shout, but where's the conviction at? Where's the Spirit of God dealing with the hearts of men? That's what'll save the lost. Amen. When the presence of God comes, there will be conviction in the place. Oh, there will be conviction in the place. Amen. Have you ever seen it? Amen. I remember at a youth camp I was at in Elko. Amen. Brother Joey Hatton was the night speaker. Oh, I've been in some wonderful service when Brother Hatton was the preaching. Amen. But that night I'll never forget. He preached on empty and he had the little illustration. The reason why I remember, amen, I was one of his devils. I was one of the demons. Go figure. Seems like I'm always a devil whenever I'm in a skit. Amen. But this time I know the reason why I remember Brother Hatton. Amen. Amen. That's what I remember. Amen. But I'll never forget as we carried up that boy that we had possessed, picked him up in his chair and he had a microphone in his hand. And as Brother Hyatt began to preach the glorious gospel under those campers, amen, that boy, we was carrying him to hell and he was crying the whole time. I'll never forget it. He was crying, you don't have to listen to that preacher. He doesn't care for you. And all the while, the devils was carrying that boy off to hell. Amen. And whenever we took him through the gates of hell, amen, I remember the conviction sit on that place. And I looked through a back window as I was back praying, said, oh, God, save somebody. I remember seeing kids, teenagers, as they gripped the back of the pew there at the campground. Amen, and I remember when he said, if you're lost and you need to be saved, come to the altar. I'll never forget it. Amen, there was kids running to the altar to get saved. I mean running and sliding into the altar. Why? Amen, God's presence was there. Conviction was falling. Oh, what would it be like at the highway if after we did preach a message, we didn't have to beg and say, oh, don't you know you need to get saved? Friend, whenever God's conviction power gets strong enough in the house, when His presence is there, you won't have to beg and pull and pry. Amen. Hell want to get saved. They'll realize that they're fixing to go to hell if they don't, and they need to get saved. Oh, for God's convicting presence in our midst. Amen. It convicts the sinner and the saint. Oh, hallelujah. Not only is there crying in His presence and conviction in His presence, oh, but the cleansing that comes in His presence. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Those times when I brought things to the altar, amen, and God's taken a fire off the altar, a live coal, and He's placed it upon my lips, and I could feel the purging. I could feel the cleansing in my soul. Amen. There's nothing like the times when God comes by and pours His blood upon us afresh, and we realize, hey, we are cleansed from every sin. There's nothing that's holding us back. There's nothing that's standing between us and God. Oh, I love to see a sinner when he comes and prays, and you ask him, how do you feel? Oh, and you, usually the reply is that they're going to get saved. Oh, I feel such a release. I feel such a cleansing. I feel so clean on the inside. Why? Because the blood of Jesus is able to cleanse the vilest sinner from all of their sin. It doesn't matter how black the heart. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't even matter if you're a preacher. Amen. If you come to God and realize how dirty you are and how rotten you are and how imperfect that you are, amen, His cleansing is a wonderful thing. Amen. The cleansing in His presence. But not only is there crying in His presence and conviction and cleansing, amen, there's also a calling in His presence. Amen. You look at what the Lord says here. He says, I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? The calling that's in His presence. You know, I believe in a divine calling set upon an individual's life to preach the gospel. Amen. There is a time, and I can take it to the place, whenever I yielded my soul and my life to God for His ministry. Amen. It was at Elko Hill. Amen. In 1990, I surrendered it all to God and said, I'll preach your gospel. You open the door, God, and I'll preach your gospel. And 2 months later, my youth pastor asked me to preach on a Saturday night in front of 150 people at the age of 12. No wonder I've got nerve problems. Amen. Amen. Silly, I think. Now looking back on it, I don't know if I could ask a 12-year-old. I just don't know. Amen. But they let me preach, and I listen to my tape, and I think, oh, amen. I had a voice that was higher than most girls, and it sounded like I was squeaking like Mickey Mouse on the little tape. And, oh, it's hilarious. But I know that God called me to preach, and I've been preaching ever since. Amen. There's been times when the devil, amen, has made me wonder, amen, and put shadows of doubt in my mind. But then I go back to Elko, amen, in my mind, and I realize and I remember, amen, how it was when I yielded to God. And I thank God for His calling. Many times while I'm praying, I quote that verse from Timothy where it says, thank God that He's counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Amen. But friend, I want you to know the only way you'll get a calling on your life is in His presence. Amen. I don't understand some folks who say they're called to preach, but yet they never want to preach. Amen. I feel like sometimes like Jeremiah where it says like fire set up in my bones. Amen. Peter said it this way. Can we not help but preach the gospel? Can we not speak about Jesus? We can't help but do it. Why? Because they were called of God. Amen. They had received that calling. But these preachers that never want to preach and never can even make it to prayer service to get the opportunity makes me wonder sometimes, are they really called? Is that calling alive and fresh? Friend, I may not always get asked to preach, but there's something inside me that says, if I am called upon, I'm ready to do it. Why? Because He has called me. There is a divine calling in God. But not everybody's called to preach. Boy, my voice is leaving me for some reason. Not everybody's called to preach. If we're all preachers, we'd have nobody to preach to. Amen. Did you know there's callings in your life that you can be called, amen, to witness on the streets? You can be called to do a witness, amen, through track ministry or anything. Amen. God's just looking for somebody, amen, that'll work for Him. It may not be in a pulpit ministry. It may not be pastoring a church or evangelizing a countryside. But you get in the presence of God, and God will speak to you and ask you to do something if you're really willing to work for Him. Amen. Amen. You know why most folks sit on the pew? Well, we got so many lazy folks in the church house, amen, that never turn their hand to do anything. Oh, they get into His presence long enough to make them feel good, and they may even cut the rug every once in a while, amen, but they've never been in His presence long enough to hear His voice call them and say, work for me. Yeah. Yeah, amen. Amen. They've never stayed in His presence long enough to hear the call. Hear the Macedonian call, the song says, that says, go and win the lost at any cost. Amen. Where is their burden for lost souls? Amen. Thank God for those that can go and knock on doors and witness. Oh, we need folks to do that. Thank God for those, amen, like Brother Bradley and Brother Jim Gillis, that can go to the campuses and preach the gospel. I don't know if I could do that or not. It's just not my style, I don't guess, and I've never felt like the Lord's called me to do that. But friend, thank God for the callings that are on people's lives. But if you really get into His presence, God will call you to do something. Amen. He'll ask you to do something. But will you listen? Will you listen? Amen. But not only that, Amen. There was a calling, but there was also that commission. After Isaiah said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Oh, if we could have some young folks. If we have some young folks that sell out to God enough and stay in His presence long enough to say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." If we could have some Samuels, amen, that are right in the presence of God, right in the house of God, asleep by the ark, amen, right there, and right before the lamps go out, couldn't we have some young folks and some older folks that would say, "Here am I, Lord, speak, for thy servant heareth," that would hear the call. But then there's the commission. One of the last things that Jesus said in His words and remarks that you read in the Gospels, amen, it says, "Go and preach the gospel." Amen. Luke recorded this way in the book of Acts. "And ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." He didn't say a tongue talk, and I believe it's the initial physical evidence. It didn't say a shout. It didn't say a run. It didn't say a hoop and holler. And I believe in every one of them, and you've seen me do them. Amen. But it said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Why did it say power? Because the next phrase says, "And ye shall be witnesses." Amen. It doesn't take much power. And oh, I know I'm preaching along these lines, like you're going to think I don't believe in shouting, but I do. Amen. It takes more than just a shout to be effective for God. It takes more than a fast song. It takes more than emotion. It takes a genuine power, amen, of the Holy Ghost. And He says, "Go." Whenever the Holy Ghost gets on your soul, amen, and you set out to God, you will not help but go and preach the gospel. It may not be in a pulpit. It may be in your backyard to your neighbor, but there will be a commission that says, "Go, go, 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 go." Why does folks sell out everything they got down here, pack everything up in a rider truck, and drive 2,000 miles to Montana to start a holiness church? It's because they heard the call. Amen. They heard the call, and they said, "Yes, Lord." And then He said, "Go." Amen. The commission. Why does folks pull up from home and move down to Georgia to work in a Christian school and help out in a church? It's because Jamie Carter heard the call and God said, "Go." Why does folks leave all behind and head to foreign fields whenever they had good jobs behind and they left it all? It's because they got into His presence and they heard that call and they said, "Yes, Lord." And He said, "Go." If God's called you, you've heard His call and you said yes, amen, it won't be very long if you haven't already heard it, and He'll be saying, "Go, go." Let me ask you tonight, have you been in His presence? Have you prepared your heart for this service tonight? Amen. And already been in His presence and are saying, "Lord, I'm here to worship You. I'm here to give You glory." Oh, if we could get in His presence tonight. There's crying in His presence. That's worship. Amen. There's conviction in His presence. Amen. That draws the sinner to the altar. Amen. There's calling in His presence. Amen. That's the dealing with men's hearts. Amen. To work for them. And whenever you say yes to that call, it won't be very long when you hear that, "Go and preach my gospel." Let's stand tonight. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to be in Your house. Lord, I've done my best to preach this little thought today. I pray that You'd bless us, Lord, in this service. Lord, You know the needs that are here, the people that have come, the burdens they've... Your presence would be made real in this place tonight. Give us a divine move of Your Holy Ghost, we pray. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's find us a place to pray tonight.